You're right.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is our first class since Yom Tov was over. Is that really it? Huh? And it's Parshas Koach. You know, with all of the Yom Tovs and the Erev Yom Tovs and the...
It feels like Yom Tov is
right. I don't know what it feels like. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's Tuesday, and it's the 27th of Tishrei. The 27th of Tishrei. All right. Also, the 1st of September. November.
October.
We'll have to erase these few. Yes,
that was very early.
Yes, Yatav was quite early, but okay. It means, of course, that we're going to have a second Adar this year. Okay. Anyway, the Shia today is based on what I consider to be an extremely classic Sichat Musar of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the Tzadik Vavacha, who was the Rosh Shiva in the Miri Yeshiva. And there's one sefer that of his Sichot Musar, and they have the Sichot Musar of 3 years that he gave. God, they would have had more wealth. But there's some fascinating things that he says, and we have a little bit to add and to broaden the subject. First, we have to read a little bit from the parasha. Number one, it's Parashat Noach. V'ato kach lecho, pasuk chaf aleph, second pasuk there. V'ato kach lecho, God tells Noach, kach lecho, take unto you mikol machal asher yachel. You're going to have all of animal kind is going to come into the ark, and you have to provide for them. It's going to be more than a year that you're going to be in there. You have to have provisions, food for them. So v'ato kach lecho mikol machal asher yachel. Take unto yourself of every food that is eaten, v'asafta elecha, and gather it unto you, v'hoya lecha v'lehem le'ochla, so it will be for you and for them to eat. V'yas Noach k'chol asher tzivahu tov l'kim k'en asah, and Noach did everything that God had told him to do, whatever God told him to do, k'en asah. V'yomer Hashem l'Noach, then God said to Noach, bo ata v'chol beitcha l'teva, you and your whole family come into the ark, because you are the one who I have seen as a righteous one before me in this generation. From all pure animals, you shall take seven of each, ish v'ishto, pairs, and that which is not pure, which means that it's going to be permitted. It prohibited eventually to the Jewish people from eating shnayim ish v'ishto, two couples of zachar and the kevah, male and female. Gam neof hashamayim shiva shiva zachar and kevah lechayot zer al pnei kolaretz. Also from all of the birds of heaven. We're going to talk about birds later. Toward the end of the show, I think we're going to get to birds. Birds, also seven and seven. In another 7 days, Anochi, Mantir al Haaretz, Arboim Yom Arboim Lel, are going to bring rain down, torrents of rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Machiti Akola Yikum Asher Asiti, and I'm going to erase all this that exists that I have made. May Al Pnei Adam, I'm going to destroy it all from upon the face of the earth. Vayas Noach k'chol asher tzivah Hashem. Noach did everything that God commanded him. V'noach ben sheish me'ot shana. Noach was 600 years old. V'hamabul ho'yamayim al ha'aretz. And the water began pouring down on the earth. V'yavo Noach u'bonav v'ishto u'neshe bonavito. Noach came with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. Now, Rashi, of course, points out that they came separately because they were going to be separated by sexes in the teva. So it was Noach and his sons, his wife, and the daughters-in-law came with him to the teva. Mipnei mei hamabul, from before the waters of the mabul. Rashi is going to make an important comment over here. We'll see it in a moment. that it's only when the waters are already surging and raging around him does Noah go into the Teva. He's going to be a very reluctant to go into the Teva. We'll see. All of creation came into that. Two of each, at least two of every species on the face of this earth came into that ark. And it was 7 days later, the waters of the Mabul were upon the earth. The 603 of the Noah, in the second month. Now, second month, there's a machlokus whether the second month is Mar Cheshvan. We're going to be finishing Tishrei on Friday. Rosh Chodesh is Friday and Shabbos. Does it mean Mar Cheshvan, or does it mean the second month after Nisan? That's a machlokus, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. We usually assume that it started raining in Cheshvan. Next month. And what was it? On the 17th day of the month, Bayom Hazen Nivku Kol Mainota Hom Rabba Varubat Hashemayim Niftahu. The earth below, the heavens above, everything started pouring water. Vayhi Hageshem Al Haaretz. Very fascinating word that Rashi also is going to comment. This you call rain? Rain? Not rain. This is Mabul. We will see. Rashi is going to point out that when it came down as rain. God was still hoping that man would repent, and the Mabul would turn into Gishmei Brocha. It would turn into waters of blessing, but that didn't happen, and the earth was destroyed. Number two is a little piece of the Kliyakar. Kliyakar is one of the classic svarim that was written on Chumash, and Rav Chaim is going to deal with the comment made by this Kliyakar, which is a very, very difficult one to understand. The Kliyakar says the following. In that first passage that we learned, we started immediately, v'atokach lecha, take unto you. Take unto you food, provisions, ordinance, whatever is necessary, take unto you. Why did it have to say lecha? Why couldn't it simply have said kach, take food? So kach lecha, of course, brings immediately to mind, or it should bring to mind, especially after Sukkot, it should bring to mind, ulakachtem lachem b'yom harishon pri eitz hadar, and you shall take unto yourselves on the first day of Sukkot the lulav, the esrig, the arava, and the hadasim. And from the word lachem we learn that it has to belong to you. You can't have something borrowed, you can't have certainly not something stolen, it has to belong to you. So the Kli Yakar is going to say the following. Let's take a look at what he says. Lecha, mashme mishelcha. The word lecha seems to indicate yours, what belongs to you. Lo mishalachedim. You can't take from anybody else. Kederech mishalachem hanema ba'arbamim. Just like the word lachem that it says by the four species that we take on Sukkot. Kedei shelo yachshav Noach Navi, Kliyakar explains what is God telling him, so that Noach shouldn't make a mistake. Kedei shelo yachshav Noach, that Noach shouldn't think, harei hayom umachar yimutu kulam umamonam kala. Today, tomorrow, soon, you're all going to be dead. They're going to have absolutely no use for all of their possessions. So what's wrong if I take from their possessions? If God wouldn't have told him to take from his own, he would have imagined that he has the right to take from anybody else, from anything in the world. Because they're all going, they're all going to be gone. שהרי היום המחר תראה או תמרו ימותו כולם, all of them are going to die, וממונם כלו, and the money is going to be gone. סרקו דייתך אמינה, he would have thought, סרקו דייתך אמינה, he would have thought to say, שמותו להיקח משלהם. Noah could have thought that it's permissible to take from that which belongs to anybody else. Talmud Lama, therefore, the Pasuk teaches us, God says, Kach lecha, take from yours, Mishalecha dafke, only from yours. Lahagdil anes, and the purpose is to make the miracle even greater, that Noah, whatever, even if Noah takes everything that belongs to him, that's going to be sufficient for all of animal kind during the course of a year, is as big or bigger of a miracle than the ark that was able to take all of animal kind in. It's all miracles. It's all miracles. You know, you read the dimensions of the ark and you think, they, what was the ark? The ark was an overgrown rowboat. Who is it that said that? It's one of my mashgichim in yeshiva. Give out a rowboat! The whole thing was a rowboat. That's what it really was. In comparison, to take all of the animal kind in, what are you talking about? One elephant and one rhinoceros and his boat. So it was all miracles. So the Kli Yakar says that to make the miracle greater, that Noach, what belongs to Noach, was enough to provide for everybody for a whole year. Even though what you have may only be enough for you alone, Noach. Noach didn't have masses of food. God is going to send blessing in that food, that from that food there will be for you and for them. I didn't make it up. He says, same thing, the teva was also, it was all a miracle. Don't think it was, you know, you see all of these little coloring books, you know, with a nice cute little teva, and you know, pairs of animals coming in over there, and you really think that it's it was all miracles. It was all miracles. The Reb Chaim has a number of problems with this Kli Yakar. Noach was gonna say, gonna think, gonna take for what belongs to somebody else? What kind of heter is this? They're alive now. It belongs to them. Who has the right? Taking from them is stealing. Now Rashi's gonna say it later. The Gemara says it. The ultimate decree on the generation of the Babel was because of Gezel, because they stole. So you're gonna tell me Noach, who's the Ish Tzaddik of that generation, is going to provide for all of animal kind through an act of theft? It's not mine. How could the Kli Yakar imagine that Noach was even going to consider something of that sort? Lo nechtam gzar dinam. The final seal of the decree against them was only because of theft. So he's going to go. But then even more. Let's take a look. Number 1A. There are some Rashi's there. Mipnei mei hamabul. Down there, 1A. Noach, the Pasuk says, went into the ark because of the waters of the Mabul. Af Noach miktane amona haya. Noach was also one of those with little faith. We're going to explain this. Mamin ve'eno mamin shi'yavo ha'mabul. He believed and he didn't believe that the model was going to come. V'lo nichtas la'teva, and he didn't go into the ark, ad she'docha kuhu hamayim, until the waters compelled him to. It doesn't mean what you think it means. He believed, he didn't believe. God's talking to him, tells him, I'm going to bring a model. Do you know what Noah didn't believe? He couldn't, for the life of him, believe that God really was going to carry it out. He was convinced that at the crucial last moment, God's awesome mercy and compassion would overwhelm him. Rachamav al kol ma'asav, we say in Davening. God's mercy is on all of his creatures. At the last moment, his mercy is going to stay his hand. He's not really going to do it. He's not really going to do it. They may deserve that he should do it, but the Rebbein Shalom is long, long suffering. Now, Reb Chaim says, if Noach himself didn't believe that the model was going to come, how could he have assumed that he could take from there what belongs to others? It's real gezel. He doesn't believe that the model was going to come. So what's the Klei Yoka saying? That God had to tell him, take from yours, and don't think you can take from the others because they're going to die. Of course Noach wouldn't think that, because Noach doesn't think they're going to die. So what's the Klei Yoka saying? Understand? Maybe Noach's greatness is the fact that he didn't have such... he didn't really fully believe that God was going to carry out the threat of destruction. Now, that's not bad. That's because one realizes that God's mercifulness is unending. Then the next Rashi, in that last pasuk we learned, it said, Vayihi HaGeshem, the rain began upon the face of this earth. But this wasn't, this, you don't call this rain. This is the mother of all tsunamis. So Rashi says, Vayihi HaGeshem, Al Haaretz, Ulahalam Hu Oma. Further on it says, Vayihi HaMabul. It was a mabul. What was it? Was it rain? Or was it a hurricane? What was it? So Rashi says, Ella, Kishahuridan, when God brought the waters down, when they began, Horidan Berachamim, he brought them down with mercy and compassion. Because God himself was waiting till the last minute. Maybe, maybe they might yet do tshuva. And if they're going to do tshuva, then this is not going to be a destructive blast of water upon the face of this earth, but it's going to be good old Gishmei Brocha, rain of blessing. Kishahodidam, Hodidam Berachamim, he brought them down with mercy. Shem Yachzu, so that if they would repent, you Gishmei Brocha, the rains would be rains of blessing. Kishalo Chazru, when nothing changed as far as mankind was concerned, Hoyu Lamabul, it became the deluge and the flood that destroyed them all. Which means, you know what? It means not only Noah didn't believe that God was going to do it, God didn't believe he was going to do it. And if so, there's no possible way of saying that Noah could have thought that he has the right to take from somebody else because they're all going to die anyway. He doesn't believe it. God doesn't believe it. So therefore, Reb Chaim says, the words of the Klei Yoka are very difficult to understand. And Reb Chaim is going to go ahead and he's going to give his own interpretation of what the meaning of the word Lecha. Why does God say to Noah, take unto you? What's the significance? And it's beautiful. What he's going to say is going to be beautiful. We'll come back Number three is down at the bottom of the page, but number three we will come back to. Don't ask why I put things, I don't put things out of order. I put things where I can get them in. That's the way it works. Number four, I think, is the way is on the right hand side. The mechilta, that is the medrash hatanoim on Sefer Shmos, on the words in the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, what God says, that I keep my chesed la'ohavai u'shomrei mitzotai. I'm going to take care of those who love me and those who keep my commandments. So the Mechilta says the following. La'ohavai, the first shot in the Mechilta is la'ohavai, those who love me, ze'avrom avinu u'kiyotzevo. Those who love me, in the schus of those who love me, ohavai, Avram Avinu, and those like him, ulishomrei mitzotai, the ones who keep my mitzvot, elo hanevi'im v'hazakenim, the prophets and the elders. Rabbi Natan Omer, this is what I want you to hear. This is very beautiful. It's also brought by the Ramban in Aseret HaDibrot. Rabbi Natan says, La'ohavai u'lishomrei mitzotai, who are those who love me and keep my commandments? Elu Yisrael shehem yoshvim be'eretz Yisrael. These are the people who of Israel who live in Eretz Yisrael. V'notnim nafsham al ha'mitzvot. And they are moser nefesh. They go all the way to fulfill mitzvot. A man is asked, ma'alach ha'yotzei lehorei, why are you being taken out to be executed? And his answer is, Al Shemalti as Bini, because I circumcised my son. Malach HaYotzei Lisarif, another one is asked, why are you being taken out to be burned at the stake? Al Shekorosi BaTorah, because I read the Torah. Malach HaYotzei Lisarif, why are you going out to be crucified? Al Shechalti HaMatzah, because I ate matzah. Malacha loke me'ar pagal, why are you being whipped by a whip? Al shenotalti et ha'lulav, because I took the lulav. Va'omer, and as the pasuk says, asher hukeiti beit ma'ahavai, I was hit, I was beaten in the house of my beloved. Those are Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and there were periods of time. Periods of Rome, executing Jews, fulfilling the mitzvahs. And then the last sentence of the Mechilta is fascinating. Makot elu gormu li le'ahev le'avin shabashamayim. That which was, I was beaten, I was struck. You know what that caused me? That caused me to love my Father in heaven even more. We would have thought just the opposite. We would have thought that being beaten and executed for fulfilling mitzvahs would have distanced Jews from Torah mitzvahs. It says, no, it's not so. The suffering to fulfill mitzvahs, even suffering unto death, caused us to love God even more. This is the beginning of what Reb Chaim wants to develop. The idea is going to be a simple one once he develops it, but it's not that simple. He's going to say it, and we'll see in a moment. The rule is the following. We love people whom we give to. Love does not develop on the basis of what I receive from people, but rather on the basis of what I give to people. That's what Reb Chaim wants to establish. And now we'll take a look at to the left. V'nira. Reb Chaim says, you know why God said to Noach, kach lecho, take from that which belongs to you? because Noach is going to give everything he owns for all of animal kind. You know what's going to be accomplished by that? Noach is going to spend a year in that teva, and he's going to have to provide for all of animal kind. The only way you can do that is if you love them deeply. Noach has to develop a love for all of God's creatures. And the beginning of that process is by giving to them. Everything Noach has, kach lecha, what you own, what's yours, you're giving it all to them. And by virtue of the fact that you are giving it all to them, you're going to develop a closeness and you're going to develop a love for them, and that's going to stand you in good stead during the course of a year in that teva, when you're going to have to act with a tremendous amount of mesiras nefesh. It's not going to be an easy job. It was one of those difficult tasks that any man ever had to undertake, to provide for and care for. Freidnisht, what he had to do during that year. V'nira, shemehai tameh, for this reason, Omar, God said to Omar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach lecha, mishelecha, from your own, shekol ha-mazon ha-nitzrach lehem b'teva, all the food that's going to be necessary for them in that ark, ha-kol yiyeh mishelecha, it should all be from that which belongs to Noach. V'lo mishelecha, and don't take from anybody else. You have to give everything you own for them. For Noach to be able to be so self-sacrificing during that whole year to take care of them, he had to be a lover of all of animal kind. He had to love them. If not for that, Yamol Adam Litzorah Zulato B'midarko Gedola, because otherwise it's not possible for a human being to be able to toil so much on behalf of others. Kederetsu Amal Noach, in the way in which Noach toiled is a very, very mild word for what Noach went through in that year. V'lachein itstavidef, he was commanded, he should give all of his money away to them. As the Kleyoka wrote, even the Kleyoka said that even everything that belongs to Noach is not going to be enough to take care of all of animal kind. But for Noach, it means the greatest sacrifice of all. To give to animal kind everything that he owns. That way he's going to turn in to one who loves them. With that great measure of love. That's going to give him the amount of love that's going to be necessary, that he should toil and act and work and care and be concerned for them for an entire year. He goes one step further and he says, even love a fellow man. Chayin on a motzim be'arvat chavero, love a fellow man. And Mesef the Dedekhered Zut, it says, in chofei tzatol be'idavek be'arvat chavercho, if you want to love your friend, have a no save and no tain betovato, do things for his benefit. Do things for his benefit. That's how you're going to come to love him. Perushat Vavim. The meaning of this is the following: Im ata rotzel liyot ahavo shel chavercha ulekayim. If you want to love your friend and you want to fulfill the mitzvah v'yahavto rachav kamocha, have a no save and no tain b'tovato. Do things for his benefit. Shayidei came through this atanasa ohavo. You become one who loves him. V'hine, it says, Ta'ut mushreshet yibolam. It's a mistake that has sort of, become rooted in the world. She'odam meitiv limishu ohev. That a man does good things for somebody he loves. Ohev et ha'adam ha'meitiv imo. And man loves the person who does for him. That's not the way it works at all. It's not because you receive that you begin to love. You love because you give. Here we learn it's just the opposite. Shall you day shu meitiv im chaveru, because you do good things for your friend? Hu naseh ohavo. I, the one who gives, truly begins to love my friend. The chen kosav the sefer aruch sadikim, who says ki aderech leyoseis ohavo shel chaveru, the way in which to become a lover of a friend, who sheyishtadel lehitiv imo bein begufo bein mimono, you should try and do good things both with your own effort and with your money. That's also included in what our rabbis said. Yotem imasha balabayit osehim ahani ahani yosehim balabayit. The Rebbe says more than what the balabayis, the one who has the money, does for the poor man does for the balabayis. It's by my giving that I become a better person. Not by my receiving. Noach is going to become the lover of all animal kind by virtue of the fact that he's going to give everything he owns. He's going to give for them. The one who gives tzedakah, Reb Chaim says, the one who gives tzedakah is mekabel, receives. He's not a giver. He's a receiver. Harbe yoter min ha'ani, much, much more than that poor person. Ki ayidei netinato, hu mekabel lev tov. By giving, you know what you become? You become the one who possesses good hearts. That's how he explains the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Hillel said you should be from the students of Aaron HaKohen. Ohev shalom, v'rodev shalom. Ohev et ha-briot, u'mekarvan la-Torah. Love peace, pursue peace, love all mankind and bring them close to Torah. Higdim ohev shalom lerodev shalom. Ki mitok she'avas ha'briyos bo'eres b'kibo she'machmatahu ohev shalom. Because he loves people, that's why he loves peace. And that's why he pursues peace. And from his pursuit of peace, that love that he has to mankind becomes even stronger. And mitatzenet b'kibo ha'ava yoter yoter. Then he really becomes a lover of mankind and at the completely different level. The more you give, the more you give, the more you love. It is very, very interesting. By the way, sometimes I had the feeling when I was preparing this that at some point on the source sheet I should say, you know, the rest is for office use. You understand? You have all of these things that you fill out at the bottom. It says, this is for office use. Here I put in this whole shtickle night of Yehud over here. You know what? It's for me. It's for office use that I should remember to say what I want to say. Who is the night of Yehud? The night of Yehud is the name of classic two volumes of responses, Shailus HaTshuvos, that were written by Rabbi Yecheskel Lando, who was the Rav of Prague. He was the Rav of Prague. After the Maharal. Much after the Maharal. Let's see. What this Googling is. Googling is great. Yeah. The Maharal of Prague lived from 1525 to 1609. He died in 1609. And Rabbi Yecheskel Lando was born in 1713. died in 1793, end of the 18th century, and he was Rav. His last position was his Rav in he was Rav in Prague. All right. So he has a fascinating tshuva. It's I think one of the classics of responsa writing. The question was sent to him by a Yid HaTalmud Chacham. I'm not sure. It may be he was asking the Shaila for himself. It was Gumpricht Oppenheim. Gumpricht Oppenheim sent the following Shaila to the Noda B'Yehuda. He says that there are Jews, there were some Jews who became quite wealthy in the Middle Ages in Europe. We always had some of our Jews who were very wealthy. The masses of people were downtrodden and poverty-stricken and penurious, but there were people who made it. And this man owned hills and dales and thousands of acres, forests. And he has a shaila. His shaila is he allowed to go hunting? What do you think? They didn't play golf in those days. Didn't have baseball. Not even gin rummy. So what was the sport of the wealthy? The sport of the wealthy was hunting. Tally-ho! The chase! So he sends a shaila to the Noda B'Yehuda. Is he allowed to... Is one allowed to go hunting? So the beauty of the tshuva is that the first half of the tshuva, the Noda B'Yehuda deals with it dispassionately, cold, calculating, halacha. What's halacha? What are you going to say? It should be prohibited because of tsar balei chayim, giving pain to living creatures. There is an iser, a prohibition of tsar balei chayim. So this brings a lot of sources from which we see that anything that is for man's benefit, anything that's for man's benefit is not prohibited under the ban of tsar balei chayim causing pain to living beings. He also deals for a while with the question, is it baltashkis, it's destructive, you know? No. Destructive, there's a purpose, there's a thrill, there's an excitement. Hey! Anyway, after he goes through all of the possibilities with Rishonim and Achrenim, Atosis and Aved Azar, Cheglish, he comes, you don't have this there, so he says that, he says at one point, we don't really have to talk a lot about this, because it was made very clear by the Rishonim that anything that's letzora cha'odom, that's for man's need, les be'mishum tzar balechayim, there is no iser of tzar balechayim. The only thing that would be tzar balechayim is if you torture the animal. And you leave the animal alive while it is in its throes. But if you went out shooting and you kill the animal, that's okay. And that's it. Jim King, Hani Chayso Yar, those beasts of the field, called Manshein B'chayim, Ein Behem Shuan Ol Adam, we have no benefit from them at all. When they are alive. Rak iker hano, the benefit that we get is only when they're dead. We use their flesh, we use their the skins. Veit neima, so how can you say that it's prohibited to kill them? That's the only time that we can have benefit, and we're allowed to benefit. By the way, it's in Parshas Noach. God tells Noach that you may eat meat, the permission to eat meat is in Parashas Noach. Adam Arishon, until after the Mabul, they were only permitted to eat. They were living on a vegetable diet. They weren't able to eat meat. Now, Parashas Noach, you're allowed to eat meat. So then, after two big paragraphs dealing with all the details, he says, "V'hine ad kan, up until now, dibarnu mitzad hadin." We've been talking about pure halacha. And then, all of a sudden, the mood of the night of Yehuda changes dramatically. And that we have over here. You can see at least the first two sentences. V'omnam, he says, what are you talking about? Who do we know in Torah that were hunters? Nimrod and Esau. Is that from Jews on? We have benefit from, we enjoy the chase. We enjoy killing animals. Is that what it's all about? No, we've taken care of the din. But wait a minute, Habibi, what's going on over here? This is a Yiddish profession, you understand? The dogs, the horses, bow and arrow, the rifle, this is what a Yid does. I wonder. Al guf hadover, about the whole idea of hunting. V'lomotzinu ish tzayid, that Nimrod and Esav, the only people who were called men of hunting were Esav and Nimrod. Ve'im zeh darko, darkei b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. This is not the way of the sons of Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. U'puk chazi lomar tevaleu techadesh. This is so beautiful. And for this, we need to go back to number three. I didn't forget number three on the first side. In the Shulchan Aruch, in the laws of Shehechiyanu, you have a new garment, something that's good and nice, and you enjoy it. You say Shehechiyanu v'kimonu v'kiyonu l'azman hazeh. Look, listen to the halacha down there. Kosav Rabbeinu HaRamah, the Ramah, Ramah Sheisulish, wrote, Haminig lomah lemish lovesh beged chodosh. The minig is that when somebody puts on a new garment, you know what they used to say to him? Tevaleh utechadesh. Tevaleh means use it all out until it's oiski used, and after that, you know, titchadesh, you're going to get a new one. You know, enjoy it while you have it, and then chadesh. And Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, "Yesh misha katam." There's somebody who wrote, "Shein loma kein al min olam." You don't say that about shoes. Or begodim hanasim me orot. You don't say that on garments that are made from leather. Shul behemah, from behemah. Din kein, because then you know what you're saying. Use it up. Use the shoes up. Use the leather purse up. Or the leather jacket, and then get a new one. Well, wait, that means that you have to kill another animal in order to do it. In Keno, you'd see from Hamiz Behema Acheres Trila. You have to first kill another animal, Sheyichadesh Mimenu Beged Achas, from which you're going to make a new leather garment. Uksiv, but it says, V'racham of Alkol Mas, of God's mercy is on all of his creatures. So you're going to go tell somebody, use those shoes well, and then get new ones, when what this infers and what it calls for is the death of another creature. So the Ramah says, listen to this. The Ramah says, "V'nei hatam chomush miod ve'ein anira." This reason for not saying titchadesh is shvach. Doesn't seem so. But you know what? Sometimes, you know who passes from Shilas? All the Gedolim and all the Rosh Yeshiva don't count. You know what happens? There are times when Klal Yisrael passes from Shilas. And the Shulchan Aruch says in Mikol Makom, Rabbi Makpidim al zeh shelo la'omro. People are not to say it, because what it infers is that an animal is going to have to kill for man is she, if you understand. I should have a pair of shoes. I should have a mink coat. Soon nobody in Israel has mink coats. Or I wait a minute. Or I should have a shtramel. There was recently somebody, a very significant individual, who was calling for the use of synthetic shtramel. Go ahead and kill. I don't know what they take it from. Foxes. Who knows what? What are you talking about? You know, kill a bunch of animals so you could have a Polish noble's hat. No. Should be synthetic. Let's start with shekels. I don't start up. I know how far I can go. And I just stop right there. But wait a minute. What it means is that Kleinschel says no. A leather pair of shoes that's going to call for putting a living being to death. This is not what we look forward to. Yeah, what's the question?
Yeah, it's not a question. Look at the Shaka, we do say the Rabban is correct. Maldish Ahudim.
From cotton and from wool. From cotton and from wool. When it says Maldish Arumim, it's cotton and wool. It's not leather. I'll tell you the truth. I don't have any leather clothing at all. I'm just getting all worried. You know, that's why I even wear suspenders. I don't wear a belt. How's that for quick flunkite? Yes?
If the leather comes from an animal that was killed for food.
Oh, that's a good question. What happens if the leather comes from an animal that was slaughtered, kedasa gedim, for food? So by the way, that's exactly the reason why the Ramos said it's tam cholosh. It's a weak reason. Why? Because there can be leather that is available to us from sources that are absolutely, absolutely permitted, and nothing wrong has been done. If you shecht an animal in order to eat the meat, which is mutter 100%, so then you have leather. Or if an animal died, you have leather. So it's not always true that a leather garment comes from an animal that was killed specifically for that purpose. That's exactly why and the Noah of Yehuda says that. Yes?
In Gan Eden, God clothed Adam and Eve with a leather garment.
You know, they made for themselves garments from leather. He made them garments from light.
What about
Don't worry about God.
What about
Korbanot? Yeah, so that, okay, when we eat meat, what are you worried about Korbanot? We eat meat. It's a mitzvah to eat meat. And I don't care so what if the Jerusalem Post today had an editorial about meatless Mondays. M.K. Lippmann, you want to understand, wants to change our eating habits and there should be a meatless Monday. The fact is, in Parshat Noach it says that all living beings, lochem yiyela ochla, it shall be yours for eating. That's permitted. But we're talking over here about tally-ho! And the enjoyment of killing. That's what hunting is all about. That's what the Night of Yud is talking about. The enjoyment of killing. It's a whole different story, yes.
The wisdom passes away. You can't trust in Jesus.
I didn't hear.
When a person passes away,
yeah.
The shoes that he wore, you can't give him someone else.
When a person passes away,
the shoes,
so there is a minig that the shoes that he wore are not to be used by anybody else. But the reason over there is something completely different. They believe that if there was any illness that the man had before he died, so all other clothing can be washed and disinfected. But the shoes will retain whatever germs or others there may have been, and that's why there's the minhag not to use the shoes of somebody who died. It has nothing to do with animal kind.
And tefillin?
Huh?
Tefillin.
Tefillin?
Tefillin.
Tefillin. Tefillin.
Yeah.
So what about tefillin? So what? If it's for a mitzvah, then it does the sofer enjoy the killing of the animal so you can get it? The Nadi Bila's question was about killing creatures for the joy of killing and for hunting them. Anything that is for man's benefit is permitted. That was the permission given in Parshas Noah. There's nothing wrong with tefillin. Nothing wrong with anything leather. Except, of course, you know, if you know, who knows how many animals you have to kill to get a Gucci leather bag. I don't know. I wouldn't let my wife use it. Not a chance. What's being expressed by the Night of Yehuda, is of such contemporary significance. I just read it last week, 2 weeks ago. You know that this is the time of year that birds, the migratory birds who come from the cold countries, are on their way to Africa to spend the winter. One of the biggest stops they make is in Eretz Yisrael. By the way, this is the period. They're moving right now. By the way, they move mainly at night. I was listening one day, Chol HaMoed, I'm in the car and I hear the news. And in the news, they said that you should know at some point between Be'er Sheva and Dimona, there was a sighting of a special bird, and they were notifying the bird watchers there's something to see out there. So here there was this big article about Tzaparim. Tziporim are birds, all right? A bird watcher is a tzapar. A tzapar. And more than one bird watcher are tzaparim. It seems one of the things that is really growing in this country are the number of tzaparim. We were up, when was it? Was it an OU, an Israel Center trip? We were up in the Chula, and it was also the way they described birds come in. They have little, they put on them little rings, tags. They should be able to follow them and watch them, what happens on the way back. The following year, do they come by? They weigh them. These things weigh next to nothing. Do you know that these birds that weigh next to nothing can fly 4,000 kilometers non-stop? Stop and think about that. They don't stop for a cup of coffee. They have enough energy stored in them to travel 4,000 kilometers in one shot. You understand? I walk out of the house and I have to walk to the corner. 4,000 kilometers. You know how many birds in these few weeks we'll be passing through Eretz Yisrael? You'll never guess. A half a billion. Now I think 2-3 years ago I'd mentioned there was an article in the paper that the birds stopped flying over Syria because they hunt them. It's even worse. A study this year and last year, the number of birds that are hunted and killed in the Sinai Peninsula and northern Egypt. You have your seatbelts on? Those chayes royes over there killed between 200 to 300 million birds a year. Get that number into you. these people in all the countries surrounding us don't only kill human beings. They're killers. 200 to 300 million birds are cut down in the Sinai Peninsula and northern Egypt. Shema Shemayim. And in Eretz Yisrael, you know what you have? In Eretz Yisrael, you have bird watchers. All these birds, they have their stories, they know them. And when they come, they have all sorts of sightings. He's coming back. He made it back this year. You understand? What do they call the ones that go flying off to Miami in December? The snowbirds? The snowbirds, yeah. And they have already. They know them. They're coming in. No, we're talking about one little country over here in the Middle East, surrounded by chayas that are killing one another, killing human beings. I mean, human life is not worth too much in the countries around us. But it's not only human life. You know what it starts with? It starts with animal life. It makes a big difference how you treat animals. You know what it also means? It means that what Noah had to learn in advance of the year that he's going to spend in the Teva, he had to learn to love all of animal kind. You know where that love extended? That love went to us. It went to Shem, and from Shem it went to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We have that. We're not killers. We're not hunters. It's not a Jewish profession. We're not members of the National Rifle Association. What is it in the United States of America? The right of all men. What was it? The First Amendment, the right to bear arms. Bear arms, okay. So this is so kach lecha. In one word, that the Rebbe says to Noach, kach lecha, take unto you. You're going to have to take everything that you own in order to provide for them. By giving to them, you're going to love them. And if you're going to love them, you're going to be able to take care of them with the mercy, the pity, the compassion, the concern that is going to be necessary in order to preserve all of animal kind for all time. And here we are, 5,000 years, 4,500 years after Noah, and the birds know. You understand? The birds know. The place to go is Eretz Yisrael. And the number of places that they have over here, most of them stop at the Chula, they'll rest for a few days, and off they go. And they can go another 4,000 kilometers. But they also at Atlit, Zichron Yaakov, there are a number of places along the road. 500 million birds know to come to Eretz Yisrael. It's awesome. They're not going to be hurt over here. They're going to be taken care of. Mika Amcha Yisrael. That's it. I don't know.